You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
The scripture reading will be in Joshua chapter 6. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. You shall encompass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 times to encompass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and encompass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests, and that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout, and then shall you shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came to the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually, and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. The second day they camped at the city once and returned to the camp, so did they 6 days. Came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and camped the city after the same manner 7 times. And on that day they camped the city 7 times. It came to pass at the 7th time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. The city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the cursed thing, lest you make yourself accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are concentrated unto the Lord. They shall come in the treasure of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. It came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. But the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and took the city, and utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both men and women, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. Verse 26. And Joshua adjured them that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that rises up and builds this city of Jericho. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word, this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. By faith, verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Let us pray. And now, Father God, as we come aside from the ordinary things of life, and for this little while, we want to acknowledge the privilege of ours and pray now that you shut us in as you minister grace through your Holy Spirit to every individual here. That you be pleased to meet every heart need, whatever degree that may be, whether of the lost or of the saved. That you show yourself mighty on our behalf as you cleanse us and sanctify us, a people whereby you can bless us. We thank you for attending to those things that will be needful to these ends, Father. And last but not least, that you rebuked the evil one. Nothing be hindered that we might be blessed. And this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen. For several months now, we've been looking at the importance of by faith. By faith, we read in Hebrews 11, the walls of Jericho fell down. We've noted in the past in this particular chapter, as we begin with the first man called out of God, Abel, on the top list. And you recall that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, inasmuch as he brought the blood of a lamb. And rightly so, because it is written, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so, not only are the words of God true, but the works of God are true. And so, Abel demonstrates to us not only the proper way of worship, but also the way in which we approach God. Any other approach is a disgrace to the name of our Lord. It is in the blood, and I want to stop and emphasize this fact this morning. So much is said in the name of religion about Jesus. And that's wonderful that his name is honored. But behind that name, and what makes it so great is to who that person is and what he did on your behalf and on my behalf, namely, that he poured out his blood for me. For if you're not under the blood, it doesn't make any difference what you profess. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that keeps on cleansing from every sin. That's important in your life. Remember that as you walk this daily pathway. Because we're in Christ. Everything that we have is involved in him. If we're a child of God, it's the blood. When God sees that, he said, I will pass over. And Christ is our Passover. And so Abel speaks to us of proper worship. Just as the second man, Enoch, also speaks of another thing by faith, and that is our walk. It is written that Enoch pleased God. That's the only way you can walk with God. And just as Noah was the perfect witness. He testified to the judgments of God against sin. He built an ark to the saving of his household. He witnessed. Notice, worship, walk, and witness. You can't witness until you walk with God, and you can't walk with God until you worship. Notice the perfect order as it comes down the line. And this leads, of course, to Abraham, who's the father of faith, obedience. And that's important because obedience is better than sacrifice. Let me repeat that. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience to what? Thus saith the Lord. Faith cometh how? By the hearing. And hearing what? The Word of God. Not the philosophies of this old world. Not the rationale of men. But the Word of God. It goes on, and every person, everything here demonstrates some particular aspect of faith. And now we come to our lesson today at Jericho. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Some years back, I visited Jericho. We're a little village there now. And outside the village, about a half a mile or so, are the ruins of three Jerichos, one built on top of the other. For a long time, there was a great controversy among the skeptics about the walls of Jericho falling down flat. You remember reading? They fell down flat. And the ruins of Jericho were otherwise, at least the ruins they saw. They saw part of a jagged wall here and a part of a jagged wall there. But as they dug through the rubble, they found out another city underneath that city. And by the same token, not all the walls were down flat. There were pieces here and pieces there. And so the intellectual world made a great big deal out of that the Bible was wrong. But certain men were persistent. They kept on digging, and they found another city. And all her walls were falling down flat. There wasn't anything standing. Now, we shouldn't ever have to prove God. And we don't try to prove God. God doesn't need a defense. If he says something, that's the way it is. And certain men have gone out and tried to establish support that what God said is true. And I think that's a wonderful thing on their part. But we don't judge what God says by what we discover. We judge what we discover by what God has said. You get a horse right and before the cart, not the cart before the horse. If they'd never found that third city, I believe that Jericho's walls fell down flat, just like it is. Now I want you to see the other side of the coin. The children of Israel have been laboring now for 40 years in the wilderness. They've just crossed over Jordan. God said, I've given you the city of Jericho. Here's this walled city. And keep in mind that they did not have cannons and things like that. They had to have ladders to climb the walls to take it. It was quite a bloody affair. They used picks and axes and swords and spears and I don't know what all. God said, no, we're not going to win. Not going to take the city that way. You just march around the town once every day and we'll blow the ram's horns. On the seventh day, we're going to do it seven times. Don't say a word. Keep quiet as a mouse. Seventh day, we're going to blow that, when it blow that trumpet, all the people to shout. Now, the scientists want to tell us that it was the noise of sound that brought down the walls. Well, I don't know what instrument God used. I don't even care. God said the walls were going to fall down, and they fell down. It was a miracle. It wasn't anything that had to be proven scientifically. When God said it, that's it. That settles the matter. Now, I suppose that you've been living in Jericho, you would have been amazed at seeing all those soldiers walking around the wall. You'd been expecting attacked. And particularly seventh day, because they walked around the city seven times on the seventh day. And I can see all the soldiers up on top of the walls. We're looking for the attacks, you see. When the people shouted, all the wall just collapsed, came down. Well, you know what happened to soldiers, don't you? Not a shot was fired. I said one time about 2 weeks ago about illustrating one of the most one-sided battles in all history was New Orleans. It was a pretty one-sided affair, but not anything compared with this. Not a single Israelite was lost, and every soldier on the other side died at one time. That's a miracle, beloved. That is not something you try to rationalize. I can imagine those soldiers on top of the wall seeing all that traipsing around there, this ragtag army. They got a pretty good laugh out of it all the way around, I'm sure. But he who laughs, laughs best. As I saw a sign, it said, he who laughs less, laughs doesn't understand the joke. But in the case of those at Jericho, it was otherwise. But it's the 26th verse, and back in Joshua, I want to call your attention. Joshua said, I adjure them that at that time, cursed be the man before the Lord that rise up and builds the city of Jericho. There were two cities built upon the foundations of the original Jericho. All of them were destroyed. The last one by Titus and his armies when he destroyed Jerusalem. But there's a little village there now, even, about a half a mile from the old ruins. And it is a marvelous truth. Because God now is dealing in a secret administration. And Christendom in the main has rebuilt the walls of Jericho on top of the old Jericho. You get the point? That's exactly what we've done. Going back to the beggarly elements of what grace accomplished to free us completely, to give us a liberty that no other people under the sun have ever had. This is what Jesus meant when he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. By and large, Christendom today is built upon the ministry of the circumcision, with all of its ordinances, rituals, pomp and glory outwardly. These are all the grave clothes of Judaism, pure and simple. Building the wall of Jericho again. It's brought us nothing but division and heartache through the centuries, because men have stubbornly refused to believe that God has brought forth a revelation given to the Apostle Paul for us Gentiles, because the prophetic writings of the Scripture have no room for any such administration. That's why it's called dispensation of the mystery, God's sacred secret, which was never made known, but now is made manifest for his saints. You see, there's no pomp, there's no ritualism, there's none of the trappings that Christendom has today. Because when you come to the mystery, you find that you're complete in Christ. That all these things were blotted out at Calvary. There's no room for ordinances, There's no room for these great programs. They even extended now. They bring in all of the famous names from the West Coast. And what a conglomerate of trash that is. You look at your Saturday advertising of the churches and you'll see it. The big names, big singers, what have you. And even if these people are saved, and I'm sure some of them are, they're novices, they're babies. They have no business taking the platform. The last word from the Apostle Paul to God's people is to search out men who know the truth of the grace of God. Men who are not novices. But today, they've got to have every kind of a program in the world to get the crowds in. And when they get there, they begin to boast upon what great works they're doing. Look at all the thousands of people that have come to this place. Look at our buildings. Look at our work. We sure can't boast of any of those things. We sure can't boast of the crowds. But we can boast about the Word of God. That's the one thing we can boast about. You see, God in one person makes a majority. We have to learn that. It's hard to realize when God says you're complete in Christ, that's what He means. He does not mean that you're complete in Christ plus this thing or that thing, but you're complete in Christ. There have been too many cities of Jericho built on the old ruins that were set aside. See, all of that, all those beggarly things, all those things that were required have now been set aside, and you're complete in Christ. And to go back to those things, to rebuild the walls of Jericho, is what? What did Joshua? It's an accursed thing. It's only as you look through history, individual men have come to see certain aspects of light. And when it did, it caused a real revolution among God's people. And when it became public truth. For instance, at the Great Reformation, in the 15th century, the just shall live by faith was a hidden truth, beloved. That's hard for us to realize today. And Martin Luther put his 96-point thesis on the church doors and declared his independence from the authority of Rome. He did it on one verse, the just shall live by faith. For over 1,000 years, that truth had been hidden. The priestcraft had hidden it from the people. Now today, Christians, if they are Christians, quote that verse all the time. I don't think they understand what it means, but they quote it because they're not living by faith. The faith that they talk about today is the great experience they had yesterday, or how they feel about something, not what thus saith the Lord. You see, that's the difference. You think about that. Because more and more the appeal of religion and Christendom, and I make a distinction because Christendom is an era, but religion sometimes includes all the cults. But every one of them will call your attention to the great work they're doing. We can't do that, beloved, because we don't have any. We're not setting the woods on fire. Now, we can see some wonderful individual results, and most of you are a product of that. You're here because of the grace of God. You're not here for any other reason. If you are, you're in the wrong place. Because it sure isn't, there's nothing boastful about for a man here. If you don't see Christ in our messages, if that's not all you see, then you're looking at the wrong hole card. But that's all there is. And I want to emphasize that again. When you come to the body of Christ, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. Anything you add to that is a detraction from who he is. Not only that, but he is all and he's in all. He's involved, if you belong to him, he's involved with every facet of your life. That's why you ought to be a little bit careful about who you associate with. Unless you have a good reason for being there. If you have a motive for being there that's energized from above, fine. We're going down and mingling with all the crooks next week. Of course, we're not crooks up here, you know. But we're going down there to meet with all those people. Why are we going? Only one reason. Because of Christ. That's all. There is no other reason. And any time that a saint doesn't realize that, then he has not come to the maturity that God intends for him to have. Today, man's great hope today in the body of Christ that's being taught is the great rapture that everybody's looking for. Boy, I'm telling you, there are going to be some disappointed people amongst the saints of our time. Now, if you don't go at the out resurrection, then you probably will, if you're a saint, you will go in the great rapture. But that means that you're going to go through the great tribulation, too. You're not going to get out of it. You see, it's a reward that God has holding out for us. Get out of way from this. Whether we go in an event or an individual matter, it doesn't really matter because, as Paul said, life should be lived in a twofold way today. Namely, we should live every day as if before the sun went down, God would call me home. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, we should live here every day as if we're going to be here 1,000 years. That's a paradox, you see. That's why Paul could say in the Philippian letter, I'm in a dilemma, in a strait between two opinions, whether to stay and remain with you or to go and to be with him, or to be let loose from above, is the way he put it, which is far better. So this really is looking to Christ in him alone. Can actually take that position. And he can only take it how? By faith. Not on how he feels about something, or because of some experience, but because that's what God has helped out to him for a reward. To believe it. Not to try to rationalize it. I'm sure those, the rank and file of Judaism, as they surrounded the city of Jericho, as they walked around that city, listening to all those horns blowing, keeping quiet, not saying a word. And if you can imagine, almost 2 million Jews keeping their mouth shut for a week, that's pretty hard to realize. That's what they did. They're pretty good talkers, the Jewish people are. Keep them silent for a week, that's a pretty big job. And I think it was a good lesson for us to learn there, too. is to learn to know when to say something and when to keep our mouth shut. And you can begin with yourself. Just take a look in the mirror. You don't have very far to go. Because all of us like to listen to the sound of our own voice. It's a beauty of music to our ears. And it's hard sometimes to keep your mouth shut. Sometimes even harder to speak, however. You know? And so this is what I think this story has for us. What that aspect of faith will enable us to go, not by any, certainly there was nothing rational about marching around the city of Jericho. It made no sense whatsoever. There was nothing rational about building an ark. Remember, it did not rain in 1,656 years. They had never even seen it rain. They didn't know anything like that existed. God watered this planet from the dew of the ground as it came up. It would never had rain. If you'd been Abraham, that old pagan civilization, keep in mind that paganism is very spiritual. They have more gods than anybody does. It was in that atmosphere that God called Abraham. Abraham, it's this old pagan Abraham looking around. What's that? Spirit world was not uncommon in the era of the Chaldees, because they had all kind of gods. But now he hears a small, still voice. Abraham?
Yeah.
I want you to get up, get out of this land, go to, I'm going to show you where to go. And he said, well, now, after all, if we're going to make a trip like that, I'm going to have to buy some new clothes and get my suitcases and everything in order. Abraham didn't do that at all. He just got up and went. See? That's what it means to believe God. That's what it means in our day, to have not changed one hour. Every hero of faith here mentioned reacted the same way. Once they understood what that God had said it, that settled. You didn't have to argue the case any longer. That's the way it was. With us today, I'm sure this thought has come to you, because it has to me 1,000 times. If what we say is true, why doesn't more people come into this truth? It makes us a very arrogant breed, you see. It makes us simply say this, that everybody else is wrong and we're right. And that's a pretty narrow position. But you know, the scriptures are narrow. You can be just as broad as the scriptures, but you must be just as narrow too. In this seminar we went down to New Orleans, one of the themes of that area was many paths to God. And in the sessions, they got tired of me hearing me say this, I'm sure, because I always quoted John 14 to them. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He did not say, I am a way, or I am the truth. I am the. And we got the subject changed 100 times, but it always came right back to it. You see, God's word is narrow. It does not make many paths to God. It only makes one way. And that is Christ, you see. He is all. There's not any way to destroy Jericho unless you do the irrational and march around the city and wait for God to give the shout. And nobody gets any credit for it but who? God. It's by faith that we stand here this morning, every one of us. We have no other reason. I certainly can't testify to any greatness in my life, in you. but I sure can testify to his. That's the thing, you see. That's all we have. Isn't that horrible? I have to pull everything down to one, put all your eggs in one basket. That's what we've done. Father, thank you for the word and the faith of these saints in ancient times who believe what you said. We pray again that the Holy Spirit will so strengthen us in the inner man that we will have no questions about what God says. We don't have to prove anything. We just believe it because you said it, and that settles it. Sanctify our efforts to these ends, Lord, as each one of these lessons demonstrates some particular aspect of our response to the Word of God. And now, if there's somebody here who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, who's never realized the efficacy of the blood of Christ, his far-reaching effects, and the perfection that's in him, may the Holy Spirit give that one a sense of restlessness till they come to rest their life and put it into his hands, the only Savior that God has ever provided. Thank you, Father, for attending to these things, the heart need of all and the learning of the lost, this grace for Christ Jesus' sake. In his name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.